Amen. Awesome job, choir. It is great to be with you this morning. Thankful for the opportunity to bring God's Word. Thank you, Brother Craig, for letting me fill in. Great opportunity to open up God's Word this morning and get in there and see what He has to say. So if you would, go ahead and open up to Joshua chapter 24. I will meet you there in just a few seconds. This morning, as you see on the screen and on your bulletin cover, it says authentic. The word authentic, authenticity. You know, I think that we take for granted this word. I think we don't take this word as serious as we should. And my question for you this morning is, how do we know if something is authentic or not? How do we know if something is authentic or not? And I asked myself this question, and the first thing that I came up with is, we got to know what it looks like. We got to know what the real thing smells like. We got to know what it tastes like. We got to know what it is. We have to have experienced it to know what authenticity is, to know if this product or this thing or whatever it is the real deal or if it's a knockoff, if it's authentic or if it's not authentic. Well, this morning, I couldn't think of a better way to illustrate this to you this morning. So I went out and I bought about three different types of soda. And I know that we have Coke lovers in this congregation. But Brent Reagan assured me this morning that he loves Coke. And I'm not sure if he's telling the truth or not. We're going to find out in a second how much he loves Coke. So we have three different types of soda in each of these cups. And I know which one is the real Coca-Cola. Because many of you've probably went to Sam's and you bought the Sam Choice Cola. You bought the Czech Cola. But I'm going to be honest with you this morning. You can buy all the knockoff brands you want, but Coca-Cola is Coca-Cola. And it ain't Pepsi. All right? It ain't Pepsi. So this morning, I'm going to ask Brant to go ahead and come up here. And I'm going to ask Brant to take a sip from each one of these. And you can put them back down there. But I want you to tell me which one is actually Coca-Cola. Not that one. This one? You're right. Good job. Brant must like Coke. So I had Pepsi, I had Czech Cola, and I had actually Coca-Cola. So Brant did a good job. He tasted all three of these. He figured out, you know, this is Coca-Cola. This is the one that I'm used to because he's tasted it before. He's bought it before. He's had the real deal. He's had the authentic Coca-Cola before. So that's the reason he could tell which one was actually Coca-Cola. I want to share a story with you before we get into the sermon this morning. I went on a cruise. Me and my wife went on a cruise for our honeymoon. And we went to St. Martin. And if you've ever been on a cruise before, and you've taken your money, and you've got, you know, your cash, me being a man, and I'm probably speaking for most men in this room tonight, I was going to bargain. My intentions were to get off the ship to try to talk someone down from their product. But the only thing that I wanted, I didn't want no shirts, I didn't want no jewelry, I wanted a pair of Oakleys. But I wanted a fake pair of Oakleys. I wasn't paying $250 for a pair of sunglasses. So, where I come from, we call them Folkleys. Okay? And so I got off of the cruise ship with all intentions. My goal was to buy a pair of Folkleys. I wanted a pair of fake Oakleys. I wanted to get these fake sunglasses to pose as if I had the real thing. And so we got to scooting around, and I got up to this guy, and he was like, "What's up, man? What's up? How you doing?" And I'm like, "Hey, how you doing? You know, looking for a pair of Oakleys." He goes, "Real deal right here, real deal." Well, if you look closely at Oakleys, you can tell between Folkleys and Oakleys. You can tell between the fake ones and the real ones. And we're sitting there talking, and he had it listed at 25, and I don't think I did a really good job because I only talked him down about 20 bucks. And I paid 20 bucks for a fake pair of Folkleys that broke before I even got home. And and so, you know, I just wanted to pose as a cruise ship, you know, had the hat on backwards, had the Folkleys on, walking around like the cool guys. And my whole intentions were to get off the ship and buy a fake pair of sunglasses to pose as if I have the real thing. And church, as I look at that story, And I look at these sodas, these cups of soda that are here. I hate to say it, but we have a lot of teachers. We have a lot of leaders. We have a lot of attenders, not just in our church, but in churches all over the United States, that they have a bunch of people who are lost. Who they pose as if they have the real thing. They pose as if they you know what? I've been saved. I know what it is like to serve. I know what it is, what it feels like to do this. And it hurts me so bad to see that and to know that, because so often we're setting that example for the next generation. We're setting that example and we're saying, you know what? You don't have to be totally sold out. Just be half-hearted. You don't have to study God's word all the time. Study when it's convenient for you. You don't have to pray every day. Pray when you find time. And when I think about that, I'm like, man, we are taking away, not just from our young people, but from the lost people. Because they see that and they say, I guess that's what it means to follow Christ. You know, some people that are leaders, teachers, and attenders that are in our church and other churches today, this very morning, they may feel that they are saved based off of tradition. Gone to church my whole entire life. I'm obviously a Christian. That doesn't make you any more of a Christian than someone that's sitting down the road that's never been to church in their whole entire life. Some of them feel as if, you know what? My parents went to church. My parents were saved. Obviously, they made that decision for me, and I'm saved also. Same situation. You're no more saved than anybody else because your parents can't make that decision for you. And I'm not just speaking to this group. I'm speaking to everyone this morning. Because I believe that there's senior adults, I believe that there's young adults, I believe that there's young married couples, there's teenagers in this room that are hanging on the coattails of their parents' salvation to get into heaven. I believe that there's individuals who have just said, you know what? This is my friend, she's a Christian. This is my friend, he's a Christian. And if that's what a Christian looks like, that's how I live already. So it's not a big deal. I'm obviously a Christian also. Because I live just like them. I do the same things that they do. I go to the same places that they do. So the example that we set for our friends and for our people, our coworkers, is bigger than we could ever imagine. Because many of them look at us and say, obviously I'm saved. Because I act just like that person. And this morning as we look into Scripture, I want to look at the challenge that Joshua gives us and he gives the Israelites to be authentic. Many of you may not look at this scripture and say, I don't see authenticity in this text. I do. I think he challenges these people to put away things, to serve, to fear the Lord, so that they can be authentic followers of Christ. That they can be authentic followers. Let's look this morning. Joshua 24:14 says this. It says, so fear the Lord and serve him wholeheartedly. Put away forever the idols your ancestors worshiped when they lived beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt. Serve the Lord alone. Let's look at it one more time. So fear the Lord. Serve him wholeheartedly. Put away forever the idols your ancestors worshiped when they lived beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt. Serve the Lord alone. So this first part of Scripture, this first few words, it says what? It says, fear the Lord. Fear the Lord. I don't know about you, but that can be confusing sometimes. Because we say, you know, we worship a loving God. We worship a God of mercy. We worship a God of grace. Well, about probably 2 months into my time being here as a student pastor at this church, I sat in our high school Sunday school class. And as I sat in our high school Sunday school class, David Carruthers, who teaches that class, had a perfect analogy of this, of fearing the Lord. And I actually texted him this week and I said, send me your analogy. I need it today. And he said, I can't do it today, I'll give it to you tomorrow. So I said, I need it now. Nah. So he sent it to me the next day. And this is great. Listen to what he said. This is what he calls a tractor thought. When he's driving on his tractor, he tries to think of ways to save the world's problems. And this is what he came up with. Having fear for God is kind of like fearing a hot stove. You are not afraid of the stove, but since you were a child, you have learned to have great respect for the stove. When the hot stove is approached properly, it can be a great source of nourishment and blessing. But if its power is not heeded, then it can bring much pain and suffering. I'm going to read that again. I'm going to add God in there instead of stove. Having fear for God is kind of like fearing God. If you're not afraid of God, but since you were a child, you have learned to have a great respect for God. When God is approached properly, he can be a great source of blessing. But if his power is not heeded, then he can bring much pain and suffering. I think that's spot on. I think that is a very good few words to describe what it means to fear God. That's always been confusing to me. He's supposed to be love and grace and mercy, but I'm supposed to fear him? It don't make sense. But Joshua tells the Israelites, he says, fear God. Next thing he says, serve God wholeheartedly. Serve God wholeheartedly. I don't know, but I just did like 15 announcements, it feels like, on opportunities for our church to get plugged in and serve. And I want to make an announcement again that, guess what? I don't care if you're 14 or if you're 95 years old in this church, there are opportunities for you to serve. There are opportunities for you to take initiative and say, you know what? I want to see people come to know Jesus. I want to see people come to know Jesus. That should be our passion. And Joshua tells the Israelites in the Old Testament, he says, serve the Lord wholeheartedly. I'm going to tell you right now that I see in churches when traveling with the Ticket Ministry and preaching in different places, I saw many people who, when we would walk into churches, let me tell you something, you knew who their people, the leaders were. You knew the people that served. You could see them. They were visible. You didn't have to search for them. You didn't have to look for them. You could see them. Church, we need a congregation full of 250 people that are willing to serve wholeheartedly. That's what authenticity means. When we are authentic followers of Christ, we fear the Lord and we have no desire. We have every desire to serve the Lord wholeheartedly. We should be called to serve. No matter what our age, no matter what our obligation or our job is, there is opportunities that you can find to serve. And we're about to just talk about that in a second. And the next thing he said, and we're going to sit on this one for a few minutes. He said, put away forever the idols that your ancestors worshiped when they lived beyond the Euphrates. Everything sounded pretty good up to the right about there. Okay, we can fear the Lord. We can serve wholeheartedly. But you want us to put away what? You want to put away our idols? You want to put away the things that mean a lot to us? You want to put away the things that we spend a lot of time on? That's what Joshua was telling them. You know, let's think for a second. What do you believe the biggest battle fought in your life is? I believe that one of the biggest battles that we face every day is for the word time. Every one of us have 24 hours in a day. Praise God for the extra hour of sleep this morning. I don't know about you, but I loved every bit of it. But each and every one of us have 24 hours in a day. And so we all face this same battle. This is all, every one of us struggle with time. How am I going to use my time? How am I going to section up my time? What am I going to use my time on? And the thing that we realize in doing so is time is valuable. Time is precious. Time is something that really, when it escapes us, we're like, where did it go? Where did it go? I've been running to get the kids here. I've been cleaning the house. I've been doing this. I've been doing that. Where did all the time go? And we have things in life, taking our kids to sports. Well, taking your kids, because I don't have any kids. Taking your kids to sports or to clubs, or taking your kids to church, going to work, cleaning the house, taking care of different obligations that you have in life. All of a sudden, at the end of the day, time has escaped us. We have no more. It's time to lay our head down. Some of you start at 7, some of us don't end up till about 1. But we start laying our heads down, and guess what? Our time is gone. We have no more. And I think that what happens is we start basically taking a knife and we start chopping it up. Okay, this is a priority. I have to move this to the front. This is a priority. I have to move this up to the front. I have to do this. This is something that I love. I need to do this because if I don't do this, then I'm going to look like a bad person. And eventually, we've chopped all this stuff up, and God has been pushed back. He's been pushed back. And not necessarily are all these things idols, but for some of us, they are. For some of us, they are. You know, we look at this, and it says, put away our idols forever. And church, as we start delegating, if you would, time, the first thing that we give up is a quiet time. The first thing that we're willing to give up is a prayer life. The next thing that we're willing to give up is being at church and having that fellowship with other believers. That's something that we're saying, you know what? It's not a big deal. We'll get to that another time. We'll get to that when we're ready. We'll get to that when we have some free time. And what I'm telling you this morning is people see that. When you claim to be authentic, when you claim to be the real deal, when you say, you know what, I have a real and right relationship with Christ, people see how you use your time. They see when you're serving wholeheartedly. They see how passionate you are about Christ. They see how passionate you are about the gospel. Because you will do what it takes to allow people to be exposed to it. You know, a statistic that I looked at before I even prepared this sermon, I saw this when I graduated. 7 out of 10 teenagers that have been to church their whole entire life will never step foot through the doors of a church again when they graduate. 7 out of 10. And we sit and we're dumbfounded by it. We're going, how is that possible? We have a student ministry. We have a children's ministry. We're doing all these things. I tell you how it's possible. They see how you delegate your time. And so when you say, busy day, cutting church out, cutting quiet time out, cutting prayer life out, they say, I guess it's okay. I guess it's really not a big deal. It's not an issue to not do that. It's not an issue to be in fellowship with God. It's not an issue to have my quiet time with God. And we have, I believe, developed a generation that says, you know what? When time gets tough, when time gets consumed, cut out time with God. When in all reality, if we are authentic followers of Christ, we're not only filling God and serving God wholeheartedly and putting away our idols, but we are taking God and putting Him at the front of our time. We're putting Him at the front of our time and saying, you know what? If I don't get anything else done today, I'm going to spend some time with God. If I don't get anything else done today, I'm going to worship God. That should be a priority every single day. But what our generation and what the culture believes is they have to be within the church to worship when they can worship just as much at home. Time is a battle that each and every one of us face. And let me just tell you something. This is not a sermon to promote church attendance. This is a sermon that is trying to relay and passionately tell you that we need more authentic followers of Christ. We need people who take Christianity seriously. We need people who take their faith and relationship with Christ way more serious than they do. Because when we take time and we start separating it, we're telling our kids, we're telling our grandkids, and we're telling other people that are all around us that this is more important than God. This is more important than God. Going to this practice is more important than God. Being in the deer stand is more important than God. Being on the lake is more important than God. Being at your travel ball tournament is more important than God. Mary Hannah told me the other day, she said, my mom and dad would not let me play travel softball because I was going to be gone almost every Sunday. We need parents and grandparents to take that stand. We need parents and grandparents to take that stand and say, you know what? Time with God is way more important. Your spiritual life and following Christ is way more important than maybe hitting a home run.
maybe going and doing this, maybe going and doing that. The battle for time in our lives is huge. It's huge. I don't think until we sit back and look at it that we realize how much time we waste on things that hold no value in our life. And we say, you know what? God, I'll give you time when I'm ready for you to give you time. Often, authentic Christians say, you know what? I will give up whatever I have to give up in order to spend time with you. Whether it be amongst his people in church like this, or whether it be in your house as you get up out of bed and you spend that time with him, as you get on your knees before you hit the sack and you say, you know what? God, thank you for your many blessings. Church, we have to be aware of how we spend our time. We have to be aware that, you know what? We need to do a better job at telling not just our kids, not just our grandkids, not just our family members, but the people that are looking at us, as we talked about in the beginning of this sermon, that look at you and say, I live just like them. I must be a Christian. Showing that, no, you know what? I'm a Christian because I've gave my life to the Lord. And by grace, through faith, I have that relationship with him. Let's move on. Joshua 24, 15 through 16 says this. It says, but if you refuse to serve the Lord, then choose today whom you will serve. Would you prefer the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates? Or will it be the gods of the Amorites in whose land you now live? But as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. The people replied, we would never abandon the Lord and serve other gods. So right off the bat in verse 15, Joshua is saying, you know what? Choose today who you're going to serve. Choose today who you're going to serve. It sounds like, and we can't tell his tone, but it sounds like he's a little ticked off. And he's saying, you know what? Figure out today who you are going to serve. Choose today who you are going to serve. Church, that is my question. That is my cry for you today. Figure out today who you're going to serve. Are you going to try to live and consume your time with the world, but also claim to be a follower of Christ and have no fruit to bear? Are you going to bear all the fruit in the world and give up things occasionally in order to serve him wholeheartedly? You know, there's an H word that we as Christians are titled with a lot of times. The word hypocrite. Let me tell you something. I think we do a pretty good job at living up to that. I think we do a pretty good job sometimes living up to that. Because we don't see the necessity to be authentic. We don't see it necessary to be all in when that's what God calls us to do. If we are going to proclaim his name, if we are going to proclaim to be a follower of Christ, then he expects us to be authentic. He expects us to be the real thing. I know for a fact that when I want to buy my wife's wedding ring, if in a few months it started getting green around her finger and the diamonds were fake, I promise you I would have taken it back. I promise you I would. I prayed way too big of a price to let that thing be fake. Jesus paid way too big of a price for us to be fake. He paid way too big of a price for us to claim to be followers of Christ and not be authentic. But I think it all goes back. Teachers and leaders and attenders, people and churches believe they are saved. And some of them, without a shadow of a doubt, they are. But I believe some of them struggle with salvation because they believe it's their parents, they believe it's tradition, and they believe it's just based off of influence. I'm a follower of Christ. When they've never made a decision to say, Jesus Christ, I accept you into my heart as my Savior. I put my trust and my faith and my life in your hands. You know, I think about this morning, and I think about authenticity, and I think about what Joshua is trying to tell to this people. And he's saying, you know what? Figure out who you're going to serve. Choose today. Church, choose today who you're going to serve. And then he goes on, in that last little bit of text, he says this. He says, it will be the gods of the Amorites in whose land you now live. This is the part I'm looking for right here. But as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. As for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. Guys, this doesn't say, as long as I have children in the home, I'm going to serve the Lord. It doesn't say, as long as my family is all in the same church, I'm going to serve the Lord. It doesn't say, as long as I have grandkids in the children's ministry, I'm going to serve the Lord. If I have grandkids in the student ministry, I'm going to serve the Lord. It doesn't matter if it doesn't say, you know what, as long as the music is to my taste, I'm going to serve the Lord. It says, as for me and my house, no matter what the circumstances are, I am going to serve the Lord. We need more men of God and women of God to stand up and say that. Make that proclaim. And say, you know what? No matter what I face, no matter what I'm going through, I will serve the Lord. That's authenticity. That's being an authentic follower of Christ. I can tell you this, and we're going to end here in just a second. My mom raised me, and my real dad in Tennessee, he never went to church with us. Never. Ever. He was not saved. He was lost as could be. Never wanted to go. Never came. The first time that I believe he came to church, we went back home to Tennessee when I was about 19 years old, and I was preaching in the church. And he came to church, and so I had an awesome opportunity to share the gospel and to reach out to him that night. And today, he's still lost as could be. Doesn't go to church. But no matter what my mom faced, Sunday and Wednesdays, we were in fellowship with other believers. She didn't let the circumstances of my father hold her back from being with other believers. No matter what my mom faced, she was in God's Word. She had a prayer life. And I think we take this for granted sometimes. We take it for granted because we say, you know what? It'll be there next week. It'll be there tomorrow. And time, definitely don't cry, consumes us. It gets us. And we say, you know what? It's not a big deal to be faithful. But guess what? 7 out of 10, they get to college. Exams get hard. They're going to skip church. They're going to fall away from their faith. Intramurals take over. It's going to let it escape them. And they're not going to continue to go down that path that you wanted them to go, that God wants them to seek. Guys, putting away our idols in our life to be in fellowship with other believers, putting away our idols in life to be in the presence of the Lord is more important than you could ever imagine. Listen, I know you're going to go on vacation. I know you have hobbies. I know there's things that you love. But I would pray, and my hope is that you love God way more than you love any of those other things. Because truthfully, as I look around our church, as I look around churches all around, I see people who are way more passionate about serving the things of this world than they are about serving God. They will serve the world and their kids' t-ball team and their football team and all these other things with more passion, with more heart, with more desire, and take it way more serious than they ever do about spreading the gospel. And I think that we look at that, and that is the example, and I speak for these young people right here, that is the example that we see. We have a cry from my heart, from other authentic followers of Christ's heart, for us as a church, and for Christians all over the world to be authentic. Be authentic. Be real. Be serious. Many people want us to take our faith as young people serious, and we want us to be in church. We want us to go to everything that's available. We want to see that example. We want to see that example. This morning, again, I pray that you don't think that I'm just hammering about church attendance, because I'm not, and I could care less about the numbers that sit on the back of the bulletin. I could care less about that. I want authentic followers of Christ, because the more that we produce of that, the more real relationships we will see with God. Because of our desires to serve Him wholeheartedly, to fear the Lord, and to put away our idols. This morning, we're going to go in a time of response, an invitation. And I know that many of you have gone through one of these. You've sat through it. You've taken the time to be here this morning and other Sunday mornings. So you know what this is. But I'm going to ask you this morning, don't let it be like every other week. Because I know, because I've done it before, I've sat in your seat not too long ago, that it's easy to stay put when God is calling you to move. It's easy to wait to get through the music, and you're holding on as long as you can to get through it. Some of you at 11:15 or when I got up here to preach were ready to get through it. But God is calling many of you to do something this morning. Some of you may be teachers, you may be leaders, you may be attenders in our church, and God is calling you to a right relationship with Him, to accept Him as your Lord and Savior. And guess what that's going to take? You swallowing pride. Because guess what? There's going to be some people, if you walk down this aisle, that do this. Who cares? Who cares? If you're in this room this morning, this is the first time you're here, and you're saying, why is this dude crying on stage? I'm sorry. All right? Forgive me. Don't take my man card. But this morning, God wants to have a relationship with you. And He wants you to be authentic. And we have people that are in our church that want to show you in God's Word what it means to be authentic. We have people that desire to show you what it really means to follow Christ. And this morning, you may just say, you know what? I need to put away some idols. I need to put away some things so that I can get back to the relationship with God that I know that He's called me to have. I don't know what it is this morning, church. I don't know what you're struggling with. I don't know what you're going through. But I know Brother Craig in just a second, myself, will be here. Do not hesitate to go to your Sunday school teacher. Do not hesitate to go to your deacon during this time. But I'm asking you and I'm begging you, let's be authentic this morning. Let's be real. And let's let God move in our hearts and in our lives and in our church. Will you pray with me? Father God, we thank You for who You are. We thank You for what You're doing, God. I praise You for the opportunity to open up Your Word, God, and just be transparent. God, I pray this morning that as there's people that sit across this sanctuary, God, I pray that the intimidation, God, the nervousness will escape them, God, and You will just move them. You will move them to make a decision for You. You will move them to make a decision to grow closer to You. You will move them to make a decision of whatever they need to do this morning. God, I pray for each and every soul in here. God, I pray that they know You. I pray that they don't leave this place without growing closer to You. God, and I pray that we will be authentic, that we will be real, that we will fear You because we love You. We will serve You because that's what we're called to do. God, and we will put away our idols because we want more of You. God, do what only You can in this time. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's stand together as we stand.